I'd like to follow it in the Pew Bible. You'll find it on page 1064. And we're reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' And those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' This is the word of the Lord." Amen.
Hey, it's really good to be here this morning. Reverend Jonathan Rebrand is my name. I've just been appointed by the Archbishop of Canterbury as the new marketing consultant for the Church of England. I used to work with him in the oil industry, so I know him well. And just taken up that new post this week. Very exciting and very pleased to be able to come and join you here in Downham this morning. And I'm pleased to see already that you're getting into the spirit of a bit of branding and a bit of marketing. I'm noticing you're advertising Yamaha motorbikes on your drum kit. I did, as I was sat there thinking, I noticed these nails. Perhaps we're going to get a bit of a tie-in with B&Q. For the nails as well. But my job, you see, is to raise the profile of the Church of England, because my boss, he realises there's just a little bit of an image problem at the moment with the church. And he's trying to reposition himself and the church. He does feel that the images of shaggy beards with the previous archbishop probably wasn't the right one to take into the rest of the 21st century. So he's also a little vexed about his initials, actually, JW, because quite a few people have suggested that he might go door knocking and handing out copies of The Watchtower week by week, which isn't really what he feels his role is all about. And so he appointed me, and since his appointment, I've been doing lots of thinking. And one of my first tasks was to deal with this whole issue of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Now, for me, there's a bit of a problem with this idea of this day being called Palm Sunday. Because it is Sunday, I'll give you that, but palms. I mean, palms, it just reminds me of Caribbean islands and beaches and things like that. This is 21st century England. What are we thinking about, calling a day like this Palm Sunday? I mean, it's better than some of the names for Sundays. I mean, Sexagesima. I mean, what's that? And the 16th Sunday after Trinity. It doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, does it? But Palm Sunday. So I've been scratching my head and have got one or two ideas as to how we could move things on. But I think, you know, with climate change and all of that, Palm Sunday has probably had its day. It's a bit dated, really. So we need a bit of rebranding. And everyone's doing it. Can we stop heckling in the front? This is the Church of England. This is the Church of England. But to reassure you, everybody is doing it, aren't they? The rebranding. Tesco Value has become Everyday Value. What else have we got? Orange and T-Mobile, they've combined and come up with a highly original title of EE. E-Or. Who else we got? ITV. I was watching ITV. ITV have rebranded. They've got their new logo. So it's okay. Everyone is doing it. And before you churchy types, before some of you say, that's all business, this is the church. I've been doing my research and I've discovered that two of your mission charities have changed their names recently and rebranded. So your evangelism are now called TEN, T-E-N, and USPG, I did chat to one of their guys. He was a bit concerned that the PG on the end reminded people of tea bags. And so apparently they shortened their name to just US or us. So might get confused with a certain country across the pond, but, you know, it's probably got potential. So it's being done in all the best places. So I think we need to look at some of these dates in the Christian calendar. And Palm Sunday is the first one I'm going to attack. And to be honest, palms are only mentioned in one of the four Gospels anyway. So whose idea it was to call it Palm Sunday, I do not know. In fact, it took them nearly four centuries to come up with that name. That's a lot of PCC meetings to come to a decision like that. But, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's one angle on the story, isn't it? It's nice sort of waving your palms around and going Hosanna and being very happy and cheery. That's good. I mean, we like that in church, and that's part of what the new Archbishop is looking to see. But I think there's a bit more to it than just that particular angle. And so I've been talking with my other friends in marketing, and we've come up with a few ideas. I think you'll like them, because they really will broaden the popular appeal. And I think I probably just need to demonstrate that it is scriptural, what I'm doing. So verses 35 and 36 of that passage that was read to us, if I can just find them here somewhere. Here we go. It reminds us of this. They brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. So, better than Palm Sunday, Cloak Sunday. Well, that's where I started anyway, with Cloak Sunday. But cloaks, I suddenly thought, well, people might think, you know, Batman and Robin, all that sort of thing. So we're just going to simply call it Coat Sunday. Okay? And it's great, because all of you have come in your coats this morning. I mean, how many of you came with big palm branches? Or have got big palm branches in your garden? We want these memorable things if we're going to take the church's mission forward. So, Coat Sunday. It means that when you get up in the morning and you go out the door, you put your coat on and you think of Jesus journeying into Jerusalem. And when you come into church and the heating isn't working properly and you pull your coat round you, you're reminded of that particular Sunday. And so all through the day, you've got reminders. So what do you think? Coat Sunday? Yes? It's definitely got promise, hasn't it? Another good selling point is that the church could get some sponsorship. You see, I was chatting to the treasurer earlier at 9:15 service, and he agreed that in these times of austerity, we need to find more ways of getting money into the coffers. And so we could have Coat Sunday sponsored by Helly Hansen or Superdry or Burberry or someone like that. I mean, they'll love it. They're bound to go for it. I mean, being associated with Jesus of Nazareth, I mean, it's going to bring millions into their companies. Sales will go through the roof. And we get more people through the doors here as well, which would be fantastic. But by the way, I think that Jeff Payne missed a trick a little bit with this Walk to Church Sunday. I mean, if he'd had any sense at all, he would have got some sponsorship from Clark's Shoes or someone like that as well. You see, you've got to think creatively with this stuff. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere. So, Coat Sunday. What do you think? Well, the vicar doesn't like it. So, some of you are a bit conservative, a bit stuck in your ways. Sometimes it takes a little while for these new ideas to catch on. Remember when Marathon changed its name to Snickers? You know, you didn't like it, did you, to start with? But now you love it. Now you love Snickers. It's great. What do you mean you don't? Bring back Marathon. I'll put that on my list of other things to look at. But I think you'll thank me in years to come. I think you will. And it's not just another marketing ploy. There's a really good spiritual angle on it too. It's a really good Bible angle. So I had a look. I'm a bit of a Bible scholar as well. And I was looking in the Old Testament, and there's this situation in 2 Kings chapter 9, where Elisha, the prophet, anoints Jehu as king of Israel. Do you all know it? No? Well, it says there, they hurried and took their cloaks, notice cloaks, they took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. You see, it was a sign of submission. putting their coats down, a sign of their commitment to the king. It's a way of supremely honouring him, a sign of utmost respect. And that's what was happening all those years later when Jesus was going into Jerusalem. The disciples put their coats, their cloaks, on the donkey, and then the disciples and others put the cloaks on the floor in front of him. It was a sign of utmost respect, respect to the king. They were honouring him. They were saying he was the one of authority. And then, of course, later on, we get Sir Walter Raleigh. He didn't make an appearance in the Bible, I know, but we all know chivalrous Sir Walter Raleigh. Elizabeth I, she's walking through a puddle or something like that, so the story goes, and he takes off his cloak and he puts it down in front of her. That was about honouring her and saying that she was important and that he was serving her. So Cloak Sunday, it really works. It's better than waving little branches around, palms, isn't it? We can all see that. It's a bit like rolling out the carpet at the Oscars, the red carpet, so that all the famous actors and actresses can stand on it as well. It's a bit more than that, perhaps. But, you know, putting our coats down, it's as if we're saying we're yielding ourselves and our possessions to Jesus and to his rule. So it's quite some statement. It's a bit more powerful than the wavy, wavy palms. Now, it must be said, one or two people at Lambeth Palace have questioned my plan. Some of them feel that the imagery is a bit too radical. Palm branches are quite sedate, aren't they? Quite nice. Blowing in the breeze and all that sort of thing. And you can probably cope with that a bit more readily. It's a bit like sort of three cheers for Jesus, isn't it, really? You know, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, and one for luck, hip hip hooray. Oh, no, we don't do luck, do we? Sorry. But laying down your coats and all that stands for, I mean, that sends out a pretty strong message, I reckon. It's a danger it could alienate some, I admit. You probably get some people pulling their coats tighter around them, you know, looking after number one. But it's really about laying down our whole lives. Laying down our lives, money, friendships, ambitions, everything we are. Laying it at Jesus' feet. It's all rather challenging, actually. A bit worrying, isn't it? I know some people have done it. A few of those disciples, you know, they didn't just lay down their cloaks in Jesus' day, but actually they ended up laying down their lives, and they spent the rest of their lives serving him. A bit radical, isn't it? Might be a bit much for the Church of England. Anyway, give it some thought anyway, and let me know what you think. Jesus laid down his life. What about us? Will we lay down our lives for him? Anyway, that's enough for now. I've got a really important appointment with the National Director of Cadbury's about a possible tie-up for next Sunday.